Matthew 6 and verse 9, we read, in this manner, not after these words, like some ritual or a part of religion, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for all the beautiful scriptural messages in the hymns we sang today in praise to you, thanking to you, and reminding ourselves about the importance of prayer and how you love to hear and answer prayer. And how many times you put us in a place where only you can help us and you deliver. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this time together in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Daily food can be taken so much for granted, especially in our time in history here in the United States, especially. I can remember even when I was a school kid, and the economy wasn't great, and people didn't make nearly as much money as they do now. And, you know, I can remember some people back then, as well as they do now, having to work two jobs and barely able to make ends meet. And yet, when we went to school, when I went to go throw my trash from my lunch away, I could see 10 or 11 apples just at the top of the can that had never been eaten, the vegetables thrown away, and whatever was the meal of the day, a piece of pizza or chicken fingers or something, those would be gone, but all the stuff that was good for us was thrown away. Daily food can be taken so much for granted. In our times and in our country, we have so much food and other blessings to be thankful for. And we often take it for granted that we have these things. When was the refrigerator invented? About 100 years ago or less? And before then, it was less than 100 years ago. Before then, you had to eat your daily food. I mean, if the family was having chicken, the son or the daughter would have to go catch the chicken, bring it to mom. She would wring its head off. Pour boiling water over it, and then take the feathers out of it, then chop it up, and hopefully it would be enough for the family for the day. We didn't have refrigerators back then. What a blessing it is to have them now, refrigerators and freezers. We can take our daily bread and store it for another couple of days. You know, it's interesting to me how people are fussy about leftovers. I don't understand that. I really never have. Maybe it's because I was born, my dad died when I was very young, and I was poor. And the thing is that if you gave me a pizza and I couldn't finish it, I have no qualms about finishing it as soon as possible. If you make a big lasagna and I have to put some of it in the refrigerator, I'm not going to eat anything new till that lasagna is gone. I have no problem with leftovers, you know. And so you just remember that in case you have something that's left over. You don't know what to do with it. You don't want to eat it. Call Pastor. He'll come over, put it in the microwave. I'll eat it. Or call Brother Philip with me, too. I think I have a sympathetic spirit here. But I'm not fussy about food. People ask me, what do you want to eat? And it's always anything. Unless it's a big piece of bell pepper that's been boiled and is mushy, then I don't want that. But everything else is fair game. And we were talking about, Philip and I and Ellen were talking about different things we've eaten. And somebody eating frogs, and my friend Robert Owen eating rattlesnake that he caught. And I've eaten shark, never eaten frog, but I didn't like shark. But anyway, there's almost nothing I wouldn't eat. Now, I might turn my eyes at it a little bit, like if you open a bowl and in the soup you've got eyes of a goat or monkey brains. You know, I might turn my nose away at thinking, but then people tell me that sweetbread is good. That's brains, like pork or cow brains or whatever. They say it's delicious. I don't know. I've never tried Rocky Mountain oysters, but I'd be willing to give it a stab. Now, people eat all kinds of things. And then around the world, they're thankful to have it. They don't have refrigerators. They don't have freezers. They take what they can get and eat it while they have it. So it won't last. Many Americans think it is foolish to pray for our daily bread when we're surrounded by so much abundance. They do not realize how hungry millions of people are the very time they have the meal set before them, and how many millions go to sleep hungry every night. And the things that they do eat, they ate the day before, rice. What'd they have the day before? Rice. What'd they have the day before? Rice. And not even enough to fill them up. They do not even consider that even many of our fellow Americans, not only through the times like the Great Depression, where they lived from hand to mouth every day for years, would stand in long lines for soup, would have been grateful to have those things they throw away. We are so apt to forget that all the abundance we enjoy could be taken away in a day, but for God's tender mercy and gracious love. You know, the other nations like China and Russia, even a couple South American countries and other places in the world, they have these EMP bombs. You know what those are, right? Electromagnetic pulse. And what it does is if they set one off within so many miles or radius of you, however powerful it is, you lose your cell phone, you lose your electricity, you lose all kinds of things. Now, your refrigerator needs electricity. Right? Your freezer, air conditioning, all these things. And if one of those went off one day, let me ask you, what would the city of Los Angeles look like in merely 2 or 3 days? People couldn't get food. People would be stealing food. People, instead of killing each other for money, would start killing each other for a jelly donut, for a piece of meat. And so we take these things for granted, things that could be taken away except for the abundance of God's gracious love and His tender mercy towards us. We're taught by our Lord Jesus here that when we pray, we're to remember our daily dependence on God for everything. From the clothes on our back to the roof over our heads and to every meal that we have. How many of you pray over your meals? You don't need. I know that all of you do. You pray over your meals. And the thing is, have you ever began to eat and then you realize something was missing? The food didn't taste as good. It wasn't satisfying. You say, oh, I forgot to pray. And then you prayed and then everything's all right. You're back to normal. The food's good. Everything tastes good. You have not only God's blessing of food, but you have His blessing that you've completed by your thankfulness in what He's provided. You know, there's a grandma and her grandson that were traveling by train, and so they were at the depot waiting to go, and somebody was coming by selling, you know, food. And so the grandma and her grandson, they get some food, and a couple, 2 or 3 teenage boys at the next table over, they got some food. Teenage boys just started eating, but the grandma took her grandson's hand and began to pray. And when they were done praying, those teenage boys said, "Hey, you're funny. You're praying to some unseen God and this and that and the other. And there's plenty of food around. What do you know? You guys are funny." And then the grandma just looked over her glasses at him and said, "You know, boys, even a hog grunts before he eats." Amen. That was something else. Now, I want us to look at these words kind of individually. We will stick a couple words together here and there, but the first word is give. Give us this day our daily bread. That's one of God's favorite things to do because that's what He does all the time. He's constantly giving. He's constantly giving to the universe. There are certain verses that I love that have to do with him giving. But every good thing in this sin-cursed world comes by God's gracious hand. As the Bible says, every good gift And every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. One of my favorite verses as well is Psalm 145 and verse 16, because it just describes God's daily blessing so much. David said to the Lord, "You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." Not only does God take care of his children, he takes care of those who are not his children. He takes care of the animals. He takes care of his enemies. Your health is in his hand. Your mind, your heartbeat, your daily food is dependent on God's mere mercy every day. The very next beat of your heart, the very next breath that you take, is up to God to give you. Give us this day our daily bread. Give. That's what God does constantly. This request for our daily bread teaches us to come to God as we truly are. Needy beggars. Completely subject to God's mercy, to his mere pleasure, his goodness, and his grace. Aren't you glad that God is good? Aren't you glad he's not like some evil scientist who has got control over all these things and tests and does this and does that, like mean children do? They poke their dog, or they try to put rubber bands around their cat's feet and stuff like that, just troublesome and irritating and mean. God is not like that. He's full of mercy and goodness. His grace is infinite. What else is Jesus teaching us here in this word give? He's teaching us that we are to come to God with our most basic needs. You know, our basic needs of food and our basic needs of clothing, our basic needs of shelter. And we should be thankful for these things every day. You know, we live better than the kings and queens who ruled countries in days gone by. Did they have air conditioning in the summer? No. Were they able to adjust the temperature in their shower? They didn't even have a shower. They sat in some kind of a tub. And they only do, some of the most famous kings and queens only took one or two baths every year. How about their food conditions, where the food was prepared, and the cooking conditions? Hey, we can nuke our food. Isn't that what some people call it? We can put it in the microwave. It's so expedient, so fast. But remember, back in those days, they had to kill the fatted calf if the king was going to have steak that night. That's a lot of bloody work. A lot of trouble just to have a meal. Yeah, that's right. And, vegetables have to be kept cold too, you know. Yeah, the lettuce and things like that. And we're just so blessed. We live better than kings and queens for centuries did. Praying for our daily bread blesses the hand that feeds us. It's saying, "Thank you, God, you fed me." You know, there's an old story told about the difference between dogs and cats, that a dog sees its master and he says, "Wow. He or she, they feed me, they give me a place to lay down, they pet me, they take care of me, they give me fresh water, they even take me on a walk. Wow, my master is God." And the cat looks at the same circumstances and says, "Wow, my master, he or she, they feed me, they give me a place to stay, they give me fresh water, sometimes cream and milk. I must be God." So how a cat thinks, see? And so we need to be more like that thankful person who blesses the hand that feeds us. How many times we say, "I know where my bread is buttered. I'm not going to cause trouble there with that person." And so God is the one who blesses us. And pray for our daily bread blesses the hand that feeds us, saying thank you to him. His blessing, the hand that feeds us. Do you ever think of this? How many sinners try to bite the very hand that feeds them? They take his name in vain. They make fun of him. They try to deny his existence. All the while they're breathing his air, drinking his water, He's keeping their heart beating. He's keeping their lungs pumping. They take his money that he provides them, the wellness of their mind, the strength of their hands, the ability to walk, to see, to hear, and they abuse him over it. They bite the hand that feeds them. If God cares so much to meet your temporary physical needs, how much more do you think he'll take care of your soul forever and ever? If just your basic needs, God loves to take care of and tenderly watches over you. Amen. How much he just of his temporal care of our physical bodies, how much do we owe our life to him? But not only that, he's died for our soul. Our never dying eternal soul. The breath of God, the breath of life within ourselves that he's given us. If he meets those other needs, how much more will he meet that part of you that's going to live with him forever and ever? So then it says, not only give, but it says give us. What is Jesus teaching us here? When we come to pray, we should be thinking about others and their needs as well. He teaches us here to remember one another's needs just like we do our own. In other words, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And in his prayer, he's teaching us this same thing. Give us this day. He wants us to be mindful and to be caring for our neighbors as we are of ourselves. The last few weeks, I've been wearing these nice shirts from a brother in church who gave them to me. And constantly, I'm being spoiled by you guys. I mean, I went by to see Philip and Ellen this week, and she sent me home with homemade pasta made out of vegetables, chicken in there and carrots in there, and some other kind of veg, looked like string beans cut up or some of it. And then what else was there? Oh, the vegetables from their garden. I had went home with cherry tomatoes. Those are full of flavor. I like cherry tomatoes. You can really taste those things. And a homegrown cucumber. And you guys are always spoiling us, bringing us stuff. I was hungry this morning. I didn't have a chance to eat before I left the house. And I come here and sent by way of Philip and Jesse Simmons Russian tea cookies and oatmeal cookies. And last week, I think it was that Ellen brought us some stuff. And Connie gets the donuts and things like that sometimes, or Philip. And a lot of times, I haven't eaten anything on Sunday morning. And it's good to have those things. But God, he teaches us to take care of each other, and you're doing a good job. I just want to encourage you, keep up that good work, especially the cookies and the goodies and the food. I think these shirts that Philip gave me will last me till I die. There was quite a few of them. And so we're to be careful and mindful of our neighbors as we are of ourselves. It is to be comfort and blessing to know that others are praying for us. You know, Jesus saying, as you're praying for, how many times have you asked me, or if I asked you, pray for me? Pray for me. I don't even need you to spend more than 1 minute. Just say, precious Jesus, help Alan. That's all you have to say. I believe that Jesus hears that. How many of you would be glad just to have another believer who loves Jesus just to mention your name in prayer? That's how much I believe he cares and listens. It thrills my soul. And believe it or not, there have been times in my life when I knew someone was praying for me. It's a supernatural thing. I knew someone was praying for me. And I asked him, what were you doing about 9 o'clock last night? Well, I had just finished reading my Bible. And I said, "Who did you pray last night?" "Yeah, after I read my Bible, I prayed. And one of the people I was praying for was you." And I just knew it. I just knew they were praying for me. And so God is so good to let others have us in their hearts and to pray for us. It's a comfort and blessing to know that. Spiders. So many people are afraid of spiders. Those big garden spiders are kind of yellow and black, or yellow and a dark green. So many times, especially up in Oregon, there's no poisonous snakes west of the Cascades. You walk in the woods all you want to. But one thing Oregon has is spiders. There's spiders all over the place. And a couple of times I've almost walked face first into one of those garden spiders who spread his web from a tree to a bush. And I gotten this close one time to having one of those big old spiders on my face. Now that scares me. But if I see it from a distance, it doesn't scare me. Some people are afraid of snakes. Some people are only afraid of two kinds of snakes, dead ones and live ones. They're afraid of every kind of snake. I'm not afraid of snakes. You know why the rapture happens in a twinkling of an eye when we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air? It happens so fast, 11/100 of a second. Because some of us are afraid of heights. That's what I'm afraid of. That's spiders, snakes, they don't scare me. Used to scare little girls with those things when I was growing up. But I'm afraid of heights. And so you know what Nathan did? We went to Crater Lake. He would get right on the ledge of falling straight down into North America's deepest lake. And then Connie would help him. She'd egg him on. She'd get over there towards the edge too. And I'm staying back. You know, they say when you get up on a roof and you're doing repairs, I've done that before. They say, well, the longer you're up there, the calmer you get. Not me. The longer I'm up there, the more paranoid I get. If I'm close to the edge of anything and it's high up, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And it gets worse. I almost freeze. One time a guy had to kind of nurse me along, put his arm around me and bring me to the ladder and then hold my hand as I got down on it because I had been up there for over a half hour close to the edge of falling off a building. I don't like it. But you can throw spiders at me if you want to. I'm not afraid. But afraid of heights, yes, I am. But God teaches us here that, I chased a rabbit on that one. Spiders are selfish, aren't they? Pretty much. All they get is for themselves. How about honeybees? Are they selfish? No, what they get, they share with everybody. They tell everybody where the good stuff is when they get back to the hive. They know where to get it. And then it's a blessing to the hive during the wintertime. And it's a blessing to those of us who like it in our chamomile tea or our red zinger tea or stuff like that. Honey is such a blessing. Bees are busy for others as well as themselves. Fresh water springs refresh all kinds of creatures, good and bad. Tame and wild and poisonous and gentle, all kinds of creatures. The sun shares its golden beams everywhere. It gives life, it gives warmth, it gives cheerfulness. Just think, everything you eat, whether it be animal, vegetable, fruit, you're eating the power of the sun. Amen. The sun shares its life and warmth and cheerfulness everywhere. So the loving Christian prays for God's blessings, not only for themselves, but for others. They think of the pain of others. They think of the needs of others. They think of the heartache of others. All this morning, been thinking about Brother Jim. He's thinking about him right now, talking about others. And Betty, I hope her heart is well. I hope she's cheered. I hope she's receiving strength and peace from God, that he's going to take care of everything. These people are sweetness. They refresh us. They warm our souls. They are a light and a love in this sinful world. You hear me preach all the time, but you don't see that you're preaching to me. No, not an audible sermon, but by your example. I'm convicted. I see where I fall short in serving God. And I see Jesus in you often. Then it says, not only give us, it says this day. Give us this day. What Jesus is teaching us here, and let me say this first, it is not sinful to lay up wealth. It's not sinful to lay up an inheritance. It's not sinful to have a retirement. Not for our loved ones or for ourselves. But what Jesus is teaching us is this very vital lesson. Don't worry about the future.
I ask you for everything.
Yeah. So many people are stealing their joy from today by thinking about the bills they have to pay tomorrow or the things they have to do tomorrow or the future. They're very regretful of the past and they have no joy, or they're very fearful of the future and they have no joy. And both of those things can lead to depression. What we have is today. I remember since I was a little boy, my Uncle Johnny, who first introduced me to God, he said to me, Alan, boy, there's no such thing as tomorrow. I never understood it till I started growing up, and I realized there is no such thing as tomorrow. Tomorrow's a wish. Tomorrow's a hope. But it doesn't exist. It's something we have faith will happen. But it's not here. You can't touch it. Tomorrow doesn't exist. But we have today. We have the present. And he's teaching us, don't worry about the future. Live for today. Give us this day our daily bread. Look at Matthew. We're in chapter 6. Look at verse 25. It's the same lesson, especially as we get down to the bottom of this chapter. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles or the heathen seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Grace for today. That's what God has promised you. It's grace for today. And if it be his will, tomorrow he'll take care of you. On and on. This is the day the Lord has made, the Bible says. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Remember, there's no tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. I wish I could go back in time. I wish I could go back to when I was a little boy and undo the course of my life, do the things I should have done, and stop and prevent the things that happened to not just me, but I mean family members and friends. I would do it, but I can't. And I wish that I could. Israel and the manna is a wonderful lesson from the Old Testament. After they came out of Egypt, God took care of them every day, fed them for 40 years in the wilderness with manna. And the Bible tells us what it tasted like. And it describes it as though it was angel food cake. It was light, and it tasted sweet, sweet like honey, the Bible says. And what happened was they couldn't set up manna stores for people that didn't gather. They couldn't put it in a refrigerator. It wouldn't last even if they did, because God commanded it to be daily bread. What happened if they tried to store it up? Do you remember? It spoiled and turned, and the worms got into it. It turned immediately into rottenness, to where they had to depend on God every day, day by day, morning by morning. Remember when God's prophet had to flee from Ahab and the people that were seeking his life. And he found a place by the brook Cherith where something fed him every day. The ravens came. You're not used to ravens sharing. They're usually a dirty bird, but God's in charge of them too. And the ravens came every day while Elijah lived off the water that nobody else knew was there. Remember, it hadn't rained for over 3.5 years. And God took care of him with water. And God used the nature, the wild nature, to take care of him by the brook Cherith, day by day. Only a daily provision, only enough for the day. And the time came where the brook dried up. Remember that? And Elijah is thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? God spoke to him. He said, go into the city of Zarephath. There's a widow with a son. And tell her that you belong to me and you need a place to stay. And he went. And when he came to her, she was gathering up the little bit of meal she had in a small barrel. And the little bit of oil she had in a small clay pot. And he said, please give me something to eat. And she said, I can't, sir. There's only enough for my son and myself for today. And then we die. We're all out of food. And Elijah said what? He said, make me a cake first. Take that little bit of the wheat grain or whatever barley grain, since they were poor, and make me a cake first. God will take care of you. And so she did it. And then day by day, come on in. And then day by day, God provided and took care of them. I didn't realize we had gone over so much. But remember, we're not over, but we're close to it. So we're going to have something fast. Either we'll have to have the Lord's Supper fast, or we'll have to get ready to go. But either way, the thing is that Elijah lived day by day where there was always enough meal for the three of them, he, the widow, and her son, and enough oil to cook the cake in day by day. It would be empty when they went to sleep at night. It would have just enough food for the next day. Day by day, live for today. Don't be living in the past. You'll regret things, or you'll be living on things that are gone that you should have learned the lesson from a long time ago. If you think about the future, you're going to be afraid. But is God taking care of you today? Rejoice and be glad that He is. What if we learn to live every day as though it were our last? What if we learn to live as though today were all we had? What if we lived in faith that Jesus would come tonight? This was our last day. Then our burdens would be light. Our sorrows would be dissipated. We may lay up things in store for the future if we remember to share with others and bless others that are in need. And as long as we don't trust in money to make us happy or cause us to boast about living tomorrow. And so I wish I could go on. There's so many other lessons here. Let me just quickly say this. And Jesus, when approached by a young man who said, tell my brother to share his inheritance with me. He said, am I an arbitrator of your financial things? No. And then he told this story. He said, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, notice how selfish this guy is. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? And Jesus closed by saying, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Give us this day our daily bread. That brings us to the word our. Here we see that if we earn our daily bread by honest work, God considers it ours. It's yours to enjoy. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. God says, you earned it. It's yours. You know, we just read where God feeds the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet God feeds them. But you know, God doesn't throw the seed in their nest, right? They do have to go out and get it. And when they go to get it, it's theirs. It's yours. Give us this day our daily bread. He who gathers by labor will increase, the Bible says. Scripture says the laborer is worthy of his hire. So as our strength and ability, the gifts of God to earn our daily bread, is a gift from God, so he considers the fruit of our labor to be ours to enjoy. It's yours. God says, you worked for it. You did what I wanted you to do. You didn't sit around and let others work for you and pay your way. You did it. You went out and used the grace and strength, the abilities I gave you. It's yours. And daily bread simply means this, all the temporal blessings we need. Sometimes we need food. Sometimes we need shoes. Sometimes we need a coat for the wintertime. Sometimes we need a warm place to stay. That's our daily. Amen. Amen. He does. Food, warmth, clothing. God would have us look to him and thank him for all our little daily needs. From the shoes on our feet, from the socks that are underneath those, the warm showers we take, the clean water we drink. Millions do not have these blessings that we often take for granted. One day, many years ago, as a young Christian, I hadn't even gone to college yet, and I was just thinking about how sinful my life had been and how little I thanked God and then how good he was to me. Then I was getting ready to go to work, and as I put my socks on, they felt soft. They felt warm. They made my feet happy. And I started to cry. I'm thinking, God, how good you are for just these simple things, for just the little things you do for us. Lord, if you had not made my eyes to see, I wouldn't be able to go to work. If you had not made my ears to hear, I couldn't have the job I'm doing right now. Lord, you take such good care of me. Let me, you know, the mental ability that we have to choose right and wrong, good or bad, left or right, is such a blessing. Some people says, well, I'm not going to give to the church. I made this money. It's mine. Oh yeah, who gave you life? Whose water are you drinking? Whose air are you breathing? Who made you? Who gave you the mental ability to work and two hands that can grab and two feet that can walk and a back that can bend? No, that's all God's. And if you keep talking to him that way, don't be surprised if he shows you that it's his. It belongs to him. And he just shares it with you. And so as we close, this prayer teaches us to show God we realize where our bread is buttered, where our bread comes from. And lastly, this prayer teaches us to be content with God's gifts to us. It doesn't say, Lord, give me this day my daily filet mignon, does it? Lord, give me this week my weekly Cadillac. Lord, give me this year my yearly mansion. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, our daily bread, take care of me today, Lord. You know, in Southern California, I've learned how to pray every time I get behind the wheel, before I move. Lord, keep me from being in an accident. And then this is more selfish. Keep me from being in an accident. Don't let me have car trouble. And please don't let a policeman give me a ticket. I don't want a ticket. I don't want car trouble. I don't want to be in an accident. And so far, God has been so good to hear and answer my prayers, especially the way you see some people driving on the 10 between 5 and 5:45 in the morning. I saw this last week. Was it on Monday or Tuesday? It's like it was a nightmare. It seemed like it lasted forever. But just a couple of hundred feet in front of me, somebody came from a right lane all the way to the far left lane, and they smacked the median there, and then the car began spinning out across all four lanes of traffic and hit the wall right around Cedar Avenue on the 10. Pieces of the car were everywhere. Dark black smoke was everywhere, probably from the tires, but it was like a little nightmare that even though it just took a couple seconds, seemed it was taking forever. And I remember praying, Lord, get me through this. Don't let us get hurt. And don't let my car, like I always pray, I don't want any car trouble, Lord. Paul said this, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we should be content. And then the Bible says this, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Our greatest need is the bread from heaven. And if you have Jesus, you should be content. Lord, bless our time together around the Lord's table in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.